Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
God loves you and I. You know, people say that, but if we really, really understood what we're saying, what we're actually hearing, that God himself loves us to the point where he would put on flesh, come down here, and die for us. I mean, live life. I mean, we're talking about God. I mean, he created the planets. He's massive. He's amazing. And yet he put on flesh and blood, came down here and looked like us, acted like us, and submitted himself to men who would beat him and spit on him and mock him and allow himself to suffer and be tortured and nailed to a cross. And for what reason? Because he loves you so much. Because he loves you that much. That's how much God loves you. He humiliated himself before all creation for a short period of time. But he did it because he wanted you. Because he loves you that much. He wants you saved. He wants you healed. He wants you delivered. He wants you free. He wants you set apart just for him. He wants you as his own. He wants to have you. He's got to have you. He's given his life to get you. God is after us. He is after us. So we have to, when we start realizing that, we start realizing, I'm pretty special. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, and we read that as God so loved the world, but we have to realize that we're in there. And we have to take time and meditate and recognize God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that if I just believe on him, I'd not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved me that he did what he did. So as you see how special you are, and you begin to see how much God loves you, then you're going to love you. I mean, not even just like you. You're going to love you. Regardless of what seems to be going on around you, regardless of how you think you look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror, you're going to see something beautiful. You're going to see something amazing. When you understand that that's what God sees when God sees you. But the devil and the world is always working to get our eyes on our flesh. And we're so self-conscious of the outer man and its imperfections and all those fleshly things that we miss the big picture. No longer can we miss the big picture. We got to see what God sees. We got to see that special person that's worth dying for. And let me tell you something, every day when you get up, regardless of the condition of your hair, regardless of the condition of whatever, well, I got another wrinkle, or I got this issue over here, this is sagging, and you know, and I'm trying to lose some weight, and you know, and so look at all these perfections in the flesh. See, that's how people usually see themselves. That's how they judge themselves. But we got to realize that regardless of all that, there's something beautiful here. There's something amazing here. There's something extremely special. Now you think about it, you know, you think about angels and how awesome they are. I mean, an angel appears to somebody, you see it in the Word of God, and people have visions, they see angels, they just fall down and want to worship them. They're just absolutely in awe of the beauty and the glory that radiates from these creatures. And yet Hebrews chapter 1 says, they're all ministering spirits to minister for us as heirs of salvation. And he says in Hebrews 1, he says, to which of the angels has he ever said, you are my son? Today I've begotten you. He's never said that to an angel. He's never said, you're my son. But you know what he calls you? He calls you sons. He calls you daughters. He calls you the children of the Most High God. He's never said that to an angel. Angels are incredible. What does that make you? They're servants for the heirs of salvation. They're servants for you and I. So if they're incredible, what are we? What are we? See, it's not all about looks. It's not all about outward appearance. It's about the substance of who you are. You are spirit beings created in the image and likeness of God. And you're awesome. And the angels know it. And the demons know it. The demons just don't want you to know it. Because if you ever find out what they already know, they're out. They don't stand a chance. That's why he came in and he told Adam and Eve, he said, now, God knows the day you eat of that tree, you're not going to die like he said. You're going to be like him. If you'll do this act of disobedience, you'll be like him. And they believed him. They believed the devil. What they should have realized is that they were like him. Because the Bible already says when God created him, he created him in his image and likeness. He had already made him in his likeness. But the devil got them to see something else. He got to getting them judging themselves according to the flesh, according to other things. So now they begin trying to strive to get something they already had. And so we have to realize we got it. We're awesome. We're amazing. We're created in the image and likeness of God. And if there's all these creatures out there that are spectacular and amazing, how much more spectacular and amazing are you and I? And it's time to start tapping into that by believing that. By believing that. Because again, faith isn't just about believing in God. It's about believing in yourself, in God. You got to believe in yourself, in God. You know, like he says over in Mark chapter 11 in talking about faith. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, he who says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. See, it doesn't say anything about believing what God says. Of course, we believe what God says. But you got to believe in what you're saying. You got to believe in what's coming out of you. There's awesome things, and maybe we need to say it this way. There are awesome things in you. In you. And try to get our eyes off the outer man, because that's the world trains us to be focused on the outer. We need to focus in on the inner. The inner. The real you and I. I like what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, the man on the inside is 1,000 times bigger than the man on the outside. See, he walked around and he understood what was in him. The man on the inside is huge. The man on the inside is awesome. The man on the inside is spectacular. The man on the inside is powerful, infinite in greatness. Because you've been created in the image and likeness of greatness. You're his offspring. That's who we are. One with him. We're spectacular. At the very least, we're special. Somebody say, I'm special. I'm very special. Why are you so special? You're special, number one, because God created you in his image and likeness. He didn't do that with any other creature. You're special because God redeemed you with his own blood. When he became flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ. That's pretty awesome. You're special because God set you apart from all of the people. You know, when we talk about getting baptized, when you get born again, you get baptized into Christ, man. You're taken and you're placed in him. Not everybody's been baptized into Christ. I mean, they're special. They don't even know about it just because they've been created and he died and redeemed them. But you actually believed it and received it. And you've been baptized into him. You've been set apart from the kingdom of darkness and you've been placed in him. Somebody say, I'm special. I'm really special. I'm in Christ. You're special because you answered the call. See, you're special because of some of the things that you've done too. I mean, not just what God's done, but also what you've done. You've answered the call. Now you think about that. A lot of folks on the face of the earth have not answered the call, but you've come. You've come to salvation. You've come to Jesus. And you're some of those that are not just settling for being saved. You're going on to the greater things that God has for you. You want to fulfill every phase of every calling God's got for you. Isn't that right? Isn't that who I'm talking to? You're awesome. Come on. You're part of the few, the humble, the sanctified, set apart, children of God. You're amazing. Talk about the Marines, the few, the proud. The Marines, right? And they stand in that uniform, sharp as a tack. Special, they're special. So they see themselves as special. You're more special. You're not just a Marine, but you're a sanctified child of the King. Oh, hallelujah. Man, you're a part of him. You're an ambassador of Christ. You've answered the call. I said you've answered the call. You're special. Carry yourself like a Marine. Like Dr. Dufresne used to say, the Lord would say to him, you know, he might be going along one day kind of dragging his feet, and the Spirit of God would rise up on the inside of him and say, walk like John Wayne. Don't you love that? Walk like John Wayne. he'd straighten right up. John Wayne always gets his man, you know. You're the big shots of this world. You are the superheroes of this world. You're amazing. We get a hold of this. We're not going to drag ourselves around out there in life and hang our head. We're going to lift our head up and realize we got eternal life in us. We got the living God on the inside of us. We got a God who's just like totally in love with us. You know, that was David's confidence when he went after Goliath. He knew how much God was with him. So he feared no man. Even though everything in the natural was screaming, you can't do this. God is with me. God is with me. He had something on the inside. He knew something about himself that he was special to God. That he was special to God. So he was going to walk around like a victim in life. He was going to walk around like a victor. And that's exactly who you are. You're a victor. You're not a victim. The world has told you you're a victim. Circumstances have told you you're a victim. Your flesh would tell you you're a loser. But I got news for you tonight. You are a victor. You're victorious. You're awesome. You're powerful. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Don't take anything less. It's not humility to sit there and believe lies about yourself. It's not humility to sit there and believe that you're worthless, useless, unimportant, and a loser. That's not humility. That's believing a lie. That's being deceived. We're not going to walk in deception. We're going to get a hold of this. You got to see yourself as totally awesome. Because you are. You're totally awesome. See? Then as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, that's how he's going to behave and act in life. See? So why do we act in ways that are unbecoming? Why do we act sometimes in ways that would not be pleasing to God? Why would we act in ways that are not Christ-like? Why would we do that? Because as a man thinketh in his heart. What do you think about yourself? You believe in lies about yourself. The only reason why you would even sin is because you believe a lie about yourself. You don't believe you're as important as you are. Because if you knew how important you were, you would look down on sin rather than looking up to it as something to be tempted by. It wouldn't be tempting because you wouldn't be looking up at it. You look down on it. You despise it because I'm up here, seated in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, far above. Oh, man. I'm so far above this fallen world. Hallelujah. We're so far above this fallen world, this sinful pit. We're so far above it. We're so clean. We're so righteous. We're so pure. We're so holy. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We got the Holy. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Man, we're so good. We're so far above this place. The only reason why we're here is because we're on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God. There's work to be done. There's more people that need to get saved. More people that need to know the truth. That's why we're here. There's more people that need it. God needs us as ambassadors. Spread the word. Spread the word of how awesome we are. So people don't believe the lies of the devil anymore. The devil's a devil. I said the devil's a devil. We're not devils. We're not low lives. We're not losers. Yeah, but you know, I've been. Yeah, but start focusing on what he sees. Remember, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Why? Because he saw the potential. He saw what was in there. It's time for you to see it. You see, I've been dragging my feet. I haven't been living right. Got all these secret sins. Haven't been doing right. And I feel dirty. Well, it's time to recognize your potential then. And begin to understand, I've been created so much better than this. I've been created so much better than this. And the blood of Jesus lifts me up above this. And start talking like that. And you watch how little that big temptation is to you. You watch how that thing just melts. Just melts. Like wax, just melts. No big deal anymore because you're so far above it. And what can the devil tempt us with? What can the world tempt us with when we got it all? We already got it. So if you're tempted by something, you're not believing you got it all. You're not believing you got it all. You believe you're in want. You believe you're in lack. You believe there's something bigger and better out there for you when you're the biggest and the best. You rule this place. Matter of fact, this isn't even your place. You got a paradise waiting for you. You got a place where they pay. This is where we're from and this is where we're going. A place that is, it got streets of pure gold, pearls, everything's glistening. There's not a dead leaf in the place. It's perfect. That's your home, friend. That's your home. Perfect places are created for perfect people. That's our home. This isn't our home. This is not our home. Get that through your mind right now. This is not our home. We're just moving through this dirty place. This is not what we're living for. We are far better than this. We are far better than this dead-ridden planet. Death-ridden planet. Death is all over the place. Had nothing to do with us. This place is filled with demons, infested. Infested with demons. Has nothing to do with us. It's got nothing to do with us. We're so clean. We're so holy. We're just wonderful. Now, don't laugh at me. It's the truth. We really are. We got to talk this way. We got to talk this way. We got to think like this. Can you do it without feeling proud and haughty and feel like something's wrong? The devil's going to make you try to feel like something's wrong. It's this thing called false humility where you belittle yourself, make light of yourself, treat yourself as unimportant, not worth very much. That is so contrary to the price that was paid for you. That is so contrary to the scriptures. God paid for you with his own blood. Don't tell me you're not worth much. You're extremely valuable. But the devil's going to tell you, well, you shouldn't think like that. You shouldn't talk like that. That's pride. You're all into yourself. But we have to understand there's a big difference between loving yourself and being into yourself. You don't have to be into yourself just because you're loving yourself. Did you get that? I said, you don't have to be into yourself just because you love yourself. In fact, if you love yourself, you won't be into yourself. You'll be into God. Because that's the love we're talking about. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about God's love for us. And that's what makes us love us. We love us because of this love that God has for us. And that causes us to love us. See? So we're into him. And that's why we love ourselves. We're into his word. We're looking into the mirror of his word. We're looking into what he sees in us. And we love ourselves. Right? We get to seeing what he sees in us. And we begin to see how special we are. We begin to see how wonderful we are. We begin to see how awesome we are. So what are we looking at? Why are we so in love with ourselves? Because we see ourselves in him. We see ourselves according to his word. To be into yourself is just the result of focusing on yourself. Just yourself apart from him. But we're not focusing on ourselves apart from him. We're looking at ourselves from his perspective, through his eyes, through his word, by what God says about us. That's how we judge ourselves. See, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's how we see ourselves. And that's the difference from being in love with yourself and just being into yourself, which is just pride. Thank God you and I don't have to be in pride, because we are awesome in God. So why would we have to exaggerate and inflate ourselves? Because that's what pride does. Pride inflates itself. It fills itself up with a lot of hot air, right? Puffs itself up, tries to make itself tough and strong and appear to be something. We don't have to try to appear to be anything to anyone because we know what we are. We're already huge, amazing, gigantic in the Spirit. We know what we are. We know that we are a people of substance. We have so much substance, why would we have to inflate ourselves? People that inflate themselves are people that don't know themselves. Just like Adam in the beginning. He began to inflate himself and do something for himself and exalt himself when he already had a seat at the king's table. If you already know you're sitting at the king's table, come on, somebody. Then you don't have to try to exalt yourself. If you already know you're in the highest place, then there's no temptation to try to exalt yourself. You just know yourself so well that you're not even susceptible to pride. We're not even tempted to get in pride. We're not tempted to defend ourselves, exalt ourselves, parade ourselves, exaggerate, deceive, lie, cheat, to try to be something before people. Because we already know we're something before God. If you already know you're something before God, then you don't have to try to impress people. You're already impressive to yourself. See, pride tries to impress. But the impressive don't have to try to impress because they're impressive. You don't have to try to impress. If you know in truth, you're already as impressive as they get. You're the most impressive thing in God's creation. When you understand that, it settles you. It gives you peace. And you don't have to try to project some kind of image before people to try to impress them. Because you already are impressive. So you see, there's no danger of pride. I said there's no danger of pride. So you can just love yourself without being into yourself by acknowledging who you are in. Who you are in. See, we're not just in the world, but we're in him. Notice this in Philemon chapter 1. It says this, Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. Notice what causes your faith to become effective. Remember, faith is not just believing in God, it's believing in God in you, or believing in you in God. So you got to believe in what you say, not just what God says. You got to believe you have whatever you say. That's powerful. Jesus said you do. Jesus said you have what you say. So if Jesus says you have what you say, believe in your heart, yeah, don't doubt, you have what you say, then bless God, we have what we say. Wow. That's powerful. That sounds like something Adam had before he fell. That's what's been given to you and I. So he said, just don't doubt, but believe in your heart. Well, don't doubt what? Believe what? That you have what you say. That your words are impactful. Your words change things. You're created in the image and likeness of God. You've got creative power in your mouth. You could call those things into being that be not as though they were. You have what you say. Man, hallelujah. So when we walk around, we understand we have what we say. So we watch what we say. But it's easy to watch what you say when you understand you have what you say. It's hard to walk around just to remind yourself to say the right thing all the time. See, and that's where a lot of folks have missed it, is because it's like, oh, don't say that. I got to watch my confession. I got to watch my confession. I got to watch what they say. And then they focus in on their confession. Don't focus in on your confession. Focus on the fact that you have what you say. And that'll change your confession. Because there's a lot of things you'll stop saying when you understand you have what you say. There's just a lot of things you're going to stop saying about stuff. You're going to begin to be protective of your words. And then you're going to start saying some things and declaring some things that seem to go against how things actually are. Because you believe you have what you say. But see, isn't that awesome? See, that's faith. I believe in my words. I believe in what I say. Say that. Say it again.
I believe in what I
say. Point at yourself.
I believe in what I say.
That's exactly right. See, I believe in what I say. I have what I say. I have what I say. I do. Me. I have what I say. See, I'm special. My words are awesome. When I say something, things happen. I got power in my words. Because I'm powerful. And I can release creative power when I speak. So he says, your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in God. By acknowledging every good thing that's in God. Right? Is that how your faith becomes effective? Well, that's true. That's a part of it. But that's not all of it. Not according to this scripture. What's going to cause your faith to become effective? By acknowledging every good thing that's where? In you. In every good thing that's in you. You better start acknowledging the good things that are in you then. How many want your faith to be effective? So we can sit here and say, God, you're awesome, you're great, you're wonderful, you're amazing. Wow, 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 wow. God's amazing, God's awesome, God's great. Wait a second. You created me. In your image, in your likeness. Oh. I think you need to start praising yourself. Can we do that? Can we praise ourselves? Can we praise ourselves? What do you think? You think it's okay to praise yourself? Yes! What else would you do? What would be the opposite of praising yourself? Criticizing yourself? Is that okay? No, it's not okay to criticize yourself. If you criticize yourself, what are you doing to your faith? You're making it less effective. You're making your faith less effective. Stop doing that. Stop making your faith less effective by criticizing yourself. Start giving yourself some praise. Start praising yourself. Start praising yourself by acknowledging what God has done to you and how he's created you, but praise yourself by declaring, I have what I say. I'm beautiful in the eyes of God. I'm special in the eyes of God. I'm precious in the sight of God. Why? I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I follow God. I live for God. God is my everything. He's my world. He's my focus. That's another reason why you're so special. It's because you're not all into yourself. You're into Him. You're not just into pleasing yourself. You're into finding out His will and pleasing Him. Come on. Man. That's an amazing group of people right there. That's a special group of people. Interested in pleasing God. How many people in the world have that interest? Well, there's many out there, but there's many more that don't have that interest at all. So we have to acknowledge all the good things that's in us. All the good things that's in us. So start talking about the good things that are in you. Start praising yourself for your victories. Start looking at your life. Start thinking about some of the things you've done that have gotten you here to this point. Well, God's gotten me here. I understand that, but you followed Him. You obeyed Him. You cooperated with Him. You believed Him. And that's why you're here. And I understand He supplied you with the faith. He supplied you, but you yielded. You cooperated. You've walked with Him. So you have to start acknowledging that. Start acknowledging accomplishments. Start acknowledging when you do things good. You know, we're so quick to say, I can't believe I did that. That was the stupidest thing I ever did. Has anybody said anything like that? Something? Can't believe I did. But how many times have we said, man, I did that just right. That was awesome. I hit that thing just perfect. I did an awesome job. How many times you say that? See, it's very unusual. It's very unusual for people to begin to acknowledge the good things that they've done. And this is a big reason why a lot of times their faith is struggling. Their faith is weak because they're not acknowledging the good things. But notice, it's the good things that's in them in Christ Jesus. It's nothing. We're not doing things apart from Him. Now, people that are just into themselves, Christ is not in the equation. It's just all about themselves. We're not just all about ourselves. We're about ourselves in Him, according to Him. Built by Him, made by Him, designed by Him, upheld by Him. Everything we do by the grace of God. So we're acknowledging Him. So therefore, it's okay to acknowledge the good things that are in you. So do it. It's time to do it. Now, it would be vain to just be into yourself apart from Him. Why? Because apart from Him, you're just a vapor. That's all you are apart from Him. You're a vapor. The Bible says you're like a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it's no more. It's like a little mist. You just appear for a little while. You know, that's what you are apart from Him. Thank God we're not apart from Him. Right? So it's vain to just praise and talk about a vapor. But we're not focusing on the vapor. We're focusing on us as eternal beings. We're not just here for a short time. We don't just appear for a little while. I mean, we're down here for a little while, but we're going on forever. We got all eternity. We won't be vain if we know our value. Now, you know the old saying, if you got it, flaunt it. But if you've got to flaunt it, then you don't have faith in it. I said, you don't really have faith in it. You really don't believe in it. Because with believing in it, there's a confidence. There's a security. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. That was so beautiful about Jesus when He walked the earth, you know? The religious people always trying to get Him to try to prove Himself. If you're the Messiah, then do this and do that. Jesus is like, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. I have to prove anything to you. All whom the Father gives me, they'll come to me. Jesus knew He had what He said. I love that. Even at the, right there at the Last Supper, right before that, he was praying, And he prayed to the Father that none of those that He had given Him would be snatched out of His hands, except the son of perdition, Judas, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, that they'd not be snatched out of My hands. And then sure enough, man, here the mob comes to take and arrest Jesus. And not one of them was snatched out of His hands, right? In the end, there they are, serving Him. Not one of them was. It looked like Peter was gone forever, but Peter even came back. The devil wasn't able to take them, scattered them for a little while, but they all came back to him. Why? Because he had what he said. What confidence. What confidence. He walked in that assurance. He walked in that knowing that he had what he said. So he didn't have to try to prove himself. When you got the goods, you don't have to prove it to anybody. Why? Because you don't need anybody's approval. I've already got God's approval. I've already got the goods, so why would I need you to get on board with me? Now, it's for your own well-being that you would believe and you would follow me, but I don't need you. See, we're already complete in him. How many know Jesus knew he was complete? He was complete. And he walked like someone who knew he was complete too, right? He wasn't walking around, oh, I need. He walked in knowing he was complete. Well, we're in him, and we're complete in him, the Bible says. So we're complete in him. And then, of course, you know, the scripture does say in another place that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, but yet we're already complete in him according to Colossians. So how do you reconcile the two? I asked the Lord about that one time, and the revelation came, and I've shared it before. But the revelation came that the Lord is completing the work of revealing to us how complete we are in him. See, we don't know we're complete in him, so that's what he's teaching us, that you're complete. That's the work he has begun. That's the work he's completing. He's completing the work in us of helping us to recognize that we're complete. So we're already complete. So we don't have to flaunt it. We don't have to parade it. We don't have to exalt it, exalt ourselves. Why do we have to exalt ourselves? Because we're already seated far above. We're already in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already at the king's table. You don't have to exalt yourself. You don't have to parade yourself. And what does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love? In the Amplified Bible, it says love does not parade itself. It's not haughty. See, it doesn't flaunt itself. It's not vain. It's not all into itself. It doesn't have to be. It's better than that. It's better than that. It doesn't have to go around trying to prove itself to other people or get its self-worth by flaunting itself before other people and get a lot of likes. You don't have to have a lot of likes to like yourself. You should already love yourself. So what is a like when you already got love? What is a Facebook like to a child of God who's got faith love? When you know how God feels about you, you do not need to praise yourself. You don't need the praises of men. I said you don't need the praises of men. When you know how God feels about you, you do not need the praises of men. So those that are vain, we know this, they don't know their true value. But when you do know your true value, then you're no longer busy about trying to lift yourself up. You do what love does. You lift others up. When you know your value, you lift others up rather than lift yourself up. But if you don't know your true value, then you're too busy lifting yourself up to be trying to lift other people up. But we need to be about lifting other people up. And that's easy when we're not busy lifting ourselves up, right? Therefore, loving yourself is the cure to being into yourself. You would no longer be into yourself if you really loved yourself. Somebody say, I'm in Christ. There's so many good things in me. I am valuable. I am precious. I'm expensive. I'm costly. I'm amazing. I got it all. I'm full of the Spirit. I live a Spirit-filled, full and overflowing life. That's who I am. I'm beautiful. I'm wonderful. I'm smart. Intelligent. Got wisdom. Knowledge. Understanding. I'm not confused about anything. Even when I'm perplexed about stuff, I'm not worried about stuff. Because I know my value. Oh, hallelujah. And I'll confirm that with Scripture. Matthew, here's the cure to worry. Here's the cure to worry. Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. Matthew 10, 31. Do not fear, therefore. Why? Why shouldn't you fear? Why shouldn't you worry? Because you're what? You're what? You're more valuable. You're more valuable than many sparrows. Why do people worry? Why do they fear? They don't know their value. They don't know how valuable they are. They don't know how precious and costly. They don't know what they're worth. You're worth the life of God. You're worth the Son of God. Come on, somebody. When you understand your worth, you don't worry. Worry is the result of not knowing your worth. So this is a great thing to know, because if you find yourself worrying about things and being anxious about things, you know what the problem is. It's not the thing. See, the deception is to think that the thing is the problem. What thing? The thing you're worried about. The thing you're worried about, that's not the problem. The thing is not the problem, because that thing is nothing next to you. You're so much bigger than it. You're so much greater than it. I'm worried about money. Are you kidding me? Money? You live in a place, do I have to remind you? You live in a place where they pave the streets with gold. That's your home. That's your home. That's who you are. That's what you're connected to. That's what you're a part of. Money is not an issue. Why don't you say that? Money is not an issue. Money, you, come on, somebody, loving money, working for money, serving money. Are you that small? Is money bigger than you? Really? God created you and he gave you dominion over the creation, but now you've made the creation your master as you serve it. You're the master of this creation. You're not the servant of this creation. And I'll add this too. Nature is not your mother. There is no mother nature. Nature is your servant. Nature is your slave. Nature works for you. You don't work for nature. You have dominion over it. Absolute rule and authority over it. Get a hold of that. We're not worried about money. We're in God. I said, we're in God. Money's not an issue. Yeah, but you don't know the bills. Get over it. You have what you say. Stop parading the bills before your whole family. Just walk around talking about bills. Stop worrying about bills. Start recognizing you're far above that, and money cometh. Money cometh. Money follows me. Money serves me. Money's looking for me as I serve him. With the money. Say, money coming. Yeah, we're not chasing money. Money, 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 money. Chasing money. Master, the master, the master. And then money is nothing to us. The things of this world is our servant. We have dominion over it. Say, I have dominion over this world, over the creation. It doesn't dominate me. I dominate it. I dominate this body. I bring it into subjection. I control it. It does not control me. It serves me. I do not serve it. So all its desires do not control me. I decide what desires get taken care of, and what doesn't. Well, I desire sugar. Well, you're not getting any. It's just an example. I desire this. I desire that. Well, you ain't getting it. Oh, I got it. Quiet. You get down there. See, I got dominion over it. So you got to walk like that. See, it's, you don't judge yourself according to this. You dominate this. I'm talking about the outer man. You don't judge yourself according to the outer man. You dominate the outer man. You speak to it. You control it. It does not dominate you. I just have to have. No, that's your body talking. That's not you. You're seated up here. Your body, you aren't craving all these things. It's your body. Bring it into subjection. Understand the difference between you and the outer man. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm about to push this thing over. I feel that anointing, you know, just a glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Stand on your feet. Let's thank him. Let's thank him for how great we are. Can we do that? Let's do that. Say, thank you, Father, for making me so wonderful, so pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Father, for making me a child of yours, seated with you in heavenly places. You've made me awesome. I'm the work of your hands. You've made me wonderful, beautiful, powerful, sharp, smart, wise. Hallelujah. Shout out a blessing. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.